Changed by Love is the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives. God calls you and all of His people to pray in every situation of life. That would include good times and bad, sickness and sorrow, joy, success, and every other situation in life. Yet, if we're honest, most of us tend to pray more for our needs and struggles than giving thanks for our blessings. Sadly, this way of praying often takes our eyes off what the Lord has done and what He's doing. It also takes our eyes off the enormous blessings He has given to followers of Jesus. With that in mind, let's try to be more balanced as we join Pastor Jim as he begins his message, Prayer and Healing, Part 1.
So in James chapter 5, James is now beginning to land the plane, as we've been saying, of his letter. And he does something that's very, very common in New Testament letters, is he ends by telling the people and reminding the Bible readers, the people he originally wrote to, and would be us, we're reading the Bible tonight, to pray. Unfortunately, the debate over physical healing has confused and taken the joy out of this section, because in the next six verses, he mentions prayer in every single verse. So what does that tell us that the theme is? The theme is prayer. But again, we are very overly concerned with physical healing. And when you get too overly concerned, it takes the joy out of what I think James is trying to do. But anyway, the title of tonight's message is Prayer and Healing, Part 1. Prayer and Healing, Part 1. As he closes, James is calling us to pray in every situation of life. That's why six verses, six mentions, lots of emphasis on prayer. And let's just start with where we're going to begin tonight. In life, we all experience suffering, don't we? We all experience sorrow. We all experience sickness. We all experience sin. But also, we experience, if you're a follower of Jesus, you experience salvation. We all, follower of Jesus or not, if you're not, we're glad that you're with us here tonight. We do generally experience some successes in life, not always, successes and failures. And we even have, you know, once in a while we crack a smile. I'm not seeing nearly as many smiles in the past year that I've seen before, not as much laughter as I've seen before, but some of us are out there trying to keep the world smiling and laughing some, and so let's join in that. So when do we pray? Well, I'm not going to ask you when you pray. I'm going to ask you, when does James say that we pray? He says that we pray in good times and bad, in joy and sorrow, at work and at play. But it's easy to forget that, isn't it? Because we tend to only pray when we are in need. Let me give you a very, very silly, silly example. Many of you know that many years ago, when I became a Christian, I owned a trucking company. Well, I had several trucks, and I had this one real piece of junk truck. And because I wanted the drivers to stay with me, because I couldn't pay them very much, I drove the piece of junk truck. And it was always having trouble. And every time I made a delivery, I'd just become a Christian. And every time I made a delivery, I would praise God. I'd be like, God, thank you so much. I get that delivery off the truck. And then I saved up enough money for a down payment to get rid of the junker and get a new truck. And so I remember getting into that new truck. I was, for those of you who know the area, I was on Lyndhurst Avenue over in Lyndhurst, or Orient Way over in Lyndhurst, and I'm driving towards Route 3, and I'm just, yeah, you remember these things a long time ago, and I'm just praising God for this new truck. But guess what I stopped doing after that? I stopped praising God for every delivery, because I just assumed my new truck would get me there. Not good, not good. And so we want to pray in all things. Who's James going to tell us to pray? Individuals. We should all individually pray. Church leaders, he's going to talk about praying with the sick. Friends, we are to pray with one another, other fellow Christians. And he talks about righteous men and women. They are to pray righteous in God's sight because of the grace of God, not because we are righteous in and of ourselves. In other words, all people who would say that they are the people of God are to pray. So verse 13 begins a question and short answer format. And I got to tell you something very interesting. Verse 14 and 15 just overrides this passage. And verse 13 is absolutely beautiful. It's really beautiful. In fact, part of me was like, why don't I just do a message on verse 13 and not worry about the rest? He says this, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Some versions say happy. Let him sing psalms. Some versions say let him sing praise or sing songs of praise. So he begins, is anyone among you suffering? Another version says, are anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Now, prayer is talking to God. But yet you wonder how, James, if he was here, we'd say, James, how are we supposed to pray when we are suffering? How are we supposed to pray when we are in trouble? Well, if we link it to the last section we're in, he might say, why don't you pray like one of the prophets? Have patience when you pray. But don't resign yourself to, oh, well, this is the way it's going to be. Have, like the prophets, perseverance when you pray. But he probably would also add, remember this, don't be grumbling. Don't be complaining. Nor, in the midst of your suffering, should you make false promises that you can't keep. Maybe sometimes you're just going to have to say, you know, at this point in time in my life, I'm just going to have to say no. No is a very powerful word. To be honest, this is probably not the way most of us pray, is it? We're just like, help, fix this thing. Come on, get with it, God. Typically, we pray for the removal of the trial, not what the trial might produce in us. We pray for pain relief. And I would say that all of that is okay as long as it does not become an obsession. When our prayers or our troubles for our prayers for our troubles become an obsession, it often becomes all we think about. And if we're not careful, it produces distrust. Distrust in the goodness of God. Maybe he's not as good as I thought he was. And it also produces a goodness in people. I was on the line yesterday and was talking with this woman, and she said, you know, people just can't be happy for you, can they? It was so weird. I was like, I didn't tell her I was a pastor or anything. I just kind of blurted it out. And I was like, yeah, I'm preaching on that. So that's just, you know, that's just the way sometimes people are. You know people like this. Maybe you've become like this. You're a follower of Jesus, but in your obsession for relief of pain or removal of the trial, your spirit has become dull. You're just spiritually dull. And your minds really struggle with the scriptures. Your mind's not exploding with the scriptures. Your mind is dull, and the application of the word of God in your life becomes very, very difficult for you. to me, this verse kind of has a feeling that James is kind of trying to give to us. Something sort of like this, like he would say to us, friends, loved ones, brothers, sisters, you know that life is full of ups and downs. So it's very important you know how to deal with them. You need to be prepared for the ups and downs of life, because if you are prepared, you will know what to do. That's why I'll often say to people, make God your default in good times, in all times, in boring times, so he becomes your default in bad times. In chapter one, in the beginning of chapter five as well, James encouraged us to have a right heart. He encouraged us to have a divine perspective on life. Don't limit yourself to just this, to just, you know, tunnel vision. You only see what's going on now. Understand that God has a much wider view and a much wider plan for you. In other words, the Lord wants us to endure trials on his timetable, not ours, with a faith and a trust combined with that time that's going to result in godly growth and a godly spirit in the process. Now, is that, you might say, is that possible in physical pain, in spiritual struggles, in financial difficulty, in relational stress, in personal trouble? Apparently so. Apparently James feels that it is. Yet I want to point out something to you, and sometimes our Bible translations, when you go from one language to the next, they can be a bit misleading, not deliberately misleading, but sometimes our Bible translations can be a bit misleading, and I think it is here. It says, if you are suffering, if anyone among you is suffering or in trouble, let him pray. It's really not what it says. It says, let him keep on praying. Don't stop. Don't give up. Prayer is firing the winning shot. It is, if you will, the arrow of God that is aimed at the heart of God and comes back to our own heart. Prayer is not some massive resignation that things will never change. Sometimes people go, well, I guess all we can do is pray. No. Prayer is where we start. Often it's interesting when things are going bad, when we are in trouble, when we're in suffering, our first impulse is to fight. But have you learned that fighting can lead to more trouble? That fighting can lead to persecution from people? And as even some people are finding out these days, that fighting can lead to even a conflict with the government. James says, go to the Lord first. Tell him what's going on, and ask for his help. Now, this is always an interesting thing, because people say, well, why would I tell God what's going on? Doesn't he know? Well, you know, I always like to talk about little Noah James, my grandson. He was crying about something, and I pulled him up on my lap, and I had a feeling what it was, and I was right, but I said, tell Grandpa what it is. Tell Pops what it is. And he's trying to tell me, he's not even three yet, sort of speaking in tongues to me. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, sometimes when kids get older, you say to them, tell me what is going on. For us, though, it's not a matter of just telling God what's going on and asking for his help. When we do that, he has a tendency to show us something. He has a tendency to show us where we're right and where we're wrong, so we can be more godly in the process. Obviously, if we don't seek God in our trouble, and he doesn't put the brakes on some of our trouble, much more of our trouble will be self-inflicted. I mean, let's be honest. Isn't a lot of our trouble self-inflicted? Don't we do it ourselves? And how much of it, if we're honest, could we trace to a lack of prayer? Next, James moves us completely from suffering and trouble to the other extreme. And I think we can assume that he's also talking about everything in between. Is anyone cheerful? Is anyone happy? Another version says, let him sing psalms, sing songs. So from praying or speaking to God, right, in trouble, James moves to singing to God. That's far from the obligatory, oh, thank you for that, God. Good one. Good job, God. No, he's like, when you are happy, when you are overjoyed, when you are cheerful, thank God, sing to him. Yet, I'm not so sure this is just when things are going well. I think this also applies to a peace of mind that you might have. When things are going bad, and then you pray to God and you get that sensation of it's going to be okay. And it's a peace of mind. It's a contentment. And then he says, be cheerful, be happy, sing praises to God. This is the follower of Jesus who can be in good spirits in tough times, as well as in good times. Why? Because prayer has an interesting way of building trust in God. And I've learned this through the years and continue to learn this. When my confidence level in God is high, we can move mountains. And it might not be the mountain you wanted to originally have moved, but it'll be the mountain of your heart. From sorrow sometimes to gladness, or at least great confidence. Let's be honest, I don't think I'm the only one who would say this. We need to be reminded more to thank God than we do to call upon him in times of trouble. So often we're in times of trouble. Oh, God, fix this. God fixes it. And before we even have time to thank him, another trouble comes along. That's why it's probably a good idea. I do not do enough of this, but it's a good idea to keep a record of answers to prayer. Once again, our translations may mislead us when it says, let, right? It kind of carries the idea well, you know, if some guy's at a prayer meeting, let him praise the Lord if he wants to. I think a better way to say it is must. Or perhaps in our thinking, this is what we should be doing. This is how we should be praying. So if we or people we know are suffering, keep on praying. And when God is blessing us or people we know, keep on singing. Keep on being full of joy. Now, if you read ahead, I know that you want to get to verse 14 and 15. Yet I'm going to be honest with you for a second. I think to miss verse 13 is to miss much of the Christian life. I mean, you really, really do miss a lot. Over the years, I have seen many people leave the faith, sadly. I've seen many people disqualify themselves from ministry because of their reaction to suffering, because of their reaction to pain, because of their reaction to trouble, because of their reaction because things were not going the way they wanted them to. But it doesn't happen usually quickly. It's often quite subtle. It begins with leaving the things of God that he has given us to strengthen us. as we begin to move away from the spiritual disciplines of prayer and the Word of God and the gathering together of God's people. What we don't realize is that such a departure can very subtly lead to an indifference towards God. And an indifference towards God can very easily lead to a rebellion towards God. Randolph Tasker put it this way. He said, prayer may not remove the affliction, but it most certainly can transform it. That is true. It certainly can transform your heart. Well, let's flip the coin over. If we have success, or just even success in the world's eyes, when things are going very, very well, if we're not singing God's praises, can't that easily and often lead to arrogant confidence? Once we start to think that we can handle things, once we start to think we can know best, we're on our way out of the faith. Or as they say down south, we might find ourselves on the way to the woodshed. God may have to teach us a hard, hard lesson. So what does the Holy Spirit do or tell us through James here in verse 13? And this is why I think this is such an important part of the Christian life. He tells us that God is and that God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life, in every aspect of my life, from deep sorrow to great joy and everything in between. But God the Holy Spirit, remember, He is part of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit doesn't want us just to know it. I mean, it's one thing to know it in your head. He wants us to experience the presence of God in all aspects of life. He wants us to experience the goodness of the will of God, whether it might be difficulty or better times. He wants us to experience the goodness of the will of God in all aspects of life with real, trusting faith. I kind of just want to end there. Or go home and write just a little bit, you know, change some things and write a little bit longer message, man, because I love that verse. I love that verse. But verse 14 and 15 might be why you're watching tonight or this week or whenever you're watching, takes us to two of the most controversial verses in the New Testament. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, there's a lot of controversy here, and I think the controversy has its basis in the divisions within the church over spiritual gifts. Now, when we talk about spiritual gifts, and I want to talk about them some tonight because we haven't really talked about them in a long time since we were in 1 Corinthians, a lot of times when you talk about spiritual gifts or this group believes this, the discussion breaks down because within that group, there are a variety of differences. There are a variety of beliefs. So even if you get the groups right, it makes the groups hard to define. But one thing I will tell you, it's really good to understand some things about some groups before you start talking about them. You really have to learn some things about them. I know sometimes you'll hear me say, well, Pastor Jim, you come down on a lot of people that are you say are shaving the gospel. And I'll go, yes, because I read them. and I listen to them. That's the only way I know.
Thank you for spending the last half hour with Changed by Love with Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Changed by Love is designed to help you deepen your relationship with Christ, no matter where you are in your journey. Teaming with Changed by Love financially makes it possible to reach thousands, many more than you and I could reach on our own. We are stronger together than we could ever be apart. Please consider a generous gift today. Give safely and securely online at changedbyloveradio.org. You'll find our address there too if you'd rather send a check. You can always reach us by phone at 862-217-9686. It takes a team to encourage thousands. You and Changed by Love with Pastor Jim Kevney, changedbyloveradio.org.